I'm from Brigham Young University. This was a policy analysis done about a year ago looking at the prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV in Angola. I have no relationships to disclose. So first we explored kind of the burden of HIV and AIDS worldwide. There's more than 30 million around the world that have died of AIDS-related diseases, and about 34 million now are currently living with HIV. And Sub-Saharan Africa carries the highest burden of HIV, with 67% of total worldwide infections found there, and they also carry about 75% of AIDS deaths globally. So this kind of became a priority population. We looked at the country of Angola. While they only have about 2% of their population living with HIV, one of the main concerns we saw was that during they had a 30-year civil war, and during that time, cross-country travel was nearly impossible. But since then, movement is much less restricted, and the likelihood of HIV reaching isolated communities has increased. So they have recently opened borders that they're now sharing with high-prevalence countries. Here's a map, so you can see where Angola is right here, and these countries in the dark orange have some of the highest rates of HIV in the world. So now that the borders are open and travel is a lot more likely to happen, we can see why this would be such a concern. And currently, their HIV and AIDS services are inadequate. Because of, again, of the Civil War, they've had quite a destruction of their health infrastructure and other types of infrastructure in that nation. And they also are lacking qualified personnel to perform essential tasks that would be necessary to have more up-to-date HIV and AIDS services. So we looked at the prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV/AIDS and how that would be one of the most effective ways to lower these rates, or at least to prevent the increase of these. So scaling up interventions and achieving targets that the country has set for these goals would result in an 80% decline in the number of new child infections between 2009 and 2015. So it's quite a drastic decline that could happen if these programs are implemented. So obviously we need a solution. So we explored three different policies. The first one is community outreach programs. Just a little background on each of these policies. Basically, community members would be trained as health workers. They would visit HIV-infected mothers. They would supervise the medical regimen that's been set up for them, and they'd be able to provide education to those women. They would also be able to reach marginalized populations because they would be mobile. So they would be really, really helpful in finding new HIV cases in communities where they may not receive the care that other communities would receive. There has been success with these types of programs in Rwanda. The data from that country shows that about 92% of the enrolled patients were regularly taking their antiretroviral therapy medications after 2 years of participation in the program. Also, with the mobility of the community outreach, there would be universal availability, so a lot more people would have access to medication and the care that they needed, and it would also help to reduce the stigma that's been attached with HIV in these communities. Policy two, the second one that we looked at, was the integration of prevention of mother-to-child transmission in antenatal care clinics. So basically, this would include an opt-out policy for testing and treatment. It wouldn't be required, but all the women would be tested and treated unless they vocalized that they didn't want to be. It would require all antenatal workers to be trained in HIV testing and treatment. The country with data regarding this type of policy was from Botswana. With the implementation of their policy for the integration of care, the percentage of women who knew their HIV status went from 47% up to 78% in just 1 year. And then the percentage that were receiving the ART medication went from 29% to 56%. So there's good data supporting this policy. And then the third policy option is called Option B Plus for antiretroviral therapy. It's a recommendation from the WHO. It basically simplifies administration and dosage of treatment. They've seen success with this policy in Malawi. With the implementation, it doubled the number of women that were receiving ART. These are the different options that are currently supported by the WHO. Basically, with option B plus, regardless of what their CD4 count is, they start triple ARVs as soon as they're diagnosed, and it's continued for life. Whereas the other options, it kind of depends on their CD4 count, and then the schedule changes depending on their pregnancy status. But this is just started and continued the same way. So it's a really good option, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. So those are the three options that we considered for this policy analysis. The decision-making process included a decision matrix, which included seven different variables. These variables were repeatedly found in the literature as major determinants for the effectiveness of implementation of one of these policies. And each of them was given a score from 0 to 3, and then they were all weighted differently depending on how often they were seen in the literature and what type of impact they've had based on the literature. So these are the different variables. The most important one you can see it has a weight, the highest weight is to decrease the mother-to-child transmission of HIV, which was the goal of this policy, so that one has the highest weight. But you can just kind of see how it was distributed there. And then this is our decision matrix that we use. So each variable was given a score for each policy, and then those were weighted to see the distribution of those scores. Following the decision matrix, we considered stakeholders. We wanted to make sure that the community and other players had a major part in the policy implementation and determining which policy would be best. So they were categorized by power, which is basically the ability of the stakeholder to affect implementation due to the strength that they have in the community or regarding this type of care or within the clinic. And then they were also categorized by power, which basically is just their status as supporter or opponent of the policy. So this is our stakeholder map. You can see all the different stakeholders that we looked at. CHWs is community health workers. So the size of the circle indicates their power. So you can see who has a greater power, the government, the clinics that are currently present, and then producers of the ART. They're going to have a big hand in determining what type of regimen and what's going to be available. And then you can see the distance, so the top of the pyramid is where the policy lies. So, the closer they are to the top shows that they have more support for it than the further away. They are more considered more opponents. So you can just see through the stakeholder map the distribution of the different stakeholders. We wanted to consider both sides of the issue to make sure that those that were opponents were addressed and were considered as we determined which policy should be implemented. So the stakeholders that were more supportive, health professionals, HIV clinics, mothers, community health workers, and manufacturers of the medication. The WHO would be supportive, as well as the government, as I mentioned. And then you can see that there would be some resistance from these stakeholders as well. So we wanted to engage the stakeholders, as I mentioned, but it requires a lot of involvement. Some of the stakeholders would need more infrastructure, roads or buildings, while others would need more person-to-person contacts, training or community involvement to ensure that they would be supportive. If they were initially in opposition, what would need to be done to address their opposition and to get them involved if necessary. We also wanted to consider partnerships that would be available. One of the biggest partnerships we considered was HIV clinics that are currently existing with antenatal care clinics. They both have expertise on both sides of this issue, and we wanted to create an environment where they could share that expertise to create a synergistic effect to achieve the goals of the prevention of mother-to-child transmission. And other partnerships were available as well. This one was the main one we wanted to consider, and I'll go into that a little bit more later. So just a little more about the policies as we looked into what type of effect they would have. So community outreach would show an increase in retention rates based on the data. We could see that a lot of these programs really helped the participants adhere to their care and testing and things like that. But they would face challenges. Professionals may feel marginalized as more community health workers are used. And also with the poor infrastructure, there would be high transportation costs associated with that. Just getting the community health workers from place to place and getting the patients to the clinic and things like that. With the integration of antenatal care, there, based on the data again, there would be increases of HIV testing because it's an opt-out policy, but there may be more loss to follow-up because of the required number of visits. This can be avoided by limiting the number of visits, and that would be up to the clinic to determine what would be required for that. But to see the increase in HIV testing is definitely a positive thing to see with the implementation of this policy. And then with option B+, based on the table that I showed of the other options from the WHO, it is the most cost-effective than the other recommended options. But initially there will be financial spending that could compromise spending in other areas. But this can be avoided with cooperation with manufacturers in lowering the cost of the medication. So just a little more of an exploration of those options and what would be associated with that. So based on the decision matrix, option B plus and the integration of antenatal care, they scored the highest. So they would be the ones that we considered most. Option B plus scored 36 in the decision matrix, and integration of antenatal care scored 31. Excuse me. So because of the score, strictly based on score, these two were the highest. Option B plus, like I mentioned, it's more likely to promote sustained adherence to the regimen for medication. And integrated antenatal care is more likely to increase HIV testing in mothers and is more plausible to implement based on what we found out about the country of Angola and based on the data, this one was most plausible because of what it would require and things like that. Because of limited resources and infrastructure, as I've mentioned, this integration of antenatal care is the recommendation. It wouldn't require as much travel. The clinics are already set up, so the mothers and families are used to traveling to the clinics, and it just was more plausible for them to do that. As I mentioned earlier, the community health workers kind of would help normalize the process of HIV testing and treatment. Including the HIV testing and treatment with the antenatal care clinics would also do the same thing. We found this in the data that there could be a lot of community education included as these become integrated so that the process is more normalized, the stigma is reduced, and as the stigma is reduced, more women and their families will be tested and treated for HIV. There will be challenges that the clinics would face. It would require them to dedicate a disproportionate amount of staff, finances, and efforts to the HIV programs. They would need additional resources for training materials and other equipment for testing and treatment. And then all of the staff would need to be trained, whether it be doctors, nurses, or other community health workers. Training would be required, so that would take time and other resources. And with the augmentation of the clinics to include antenatal, to include HIV testing and treatment as well, would just take time and effort with other resources as well. It's really important to enlist the help of decision makers in government and the health sector. These are going to be the two most important areas for them to include. But we have found information from Angola that they have not only voiced commitment, but they've demonstrated commitment as well. So they are a country that's really committed to seeing the lowering of the transmission of HIV. They understand the problem and want to see a difference made. So it's just really important to enlist their help and get their support as much as possible. So based on the policy analysis that we did, the integration of prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV and AIDS with antenatal care will be the most beneficial for the country of Angola based on the context, the current status of the country after their civil war, the resources that they have available, and the plausibility of the implementation of a new policy. This is what was recommended based on this policy analysis.